The Earth turns into a dandelion clock whose fragile seats are blown away by a gust of wind. BBC Natural World.
The decision to adopt is never easy. But just imagine if your new baby needs to grow up in a completely different world from you. Carolina Vargas studies giant otters. But nothing has prepared her for raising an orphaned cub. Just keeping him alive will be difficult. Returning him to the wild will lead them both into uncharted waters. No one in Brazil has attempted this before. Raising baby Sancho will bring Carolina joy, frustration, and heartbreak. But it will also give her extraordinary insight into the lives of these endangered animals.
Sancho swimming on the riverbed, rolling around, and being inquisitive of the camera. Raising Sancho, narrated by Robert Bathurst.
In southwest Brazil lies the world's largest wetland, the Pantanal. It's a vast, ever-changing landscape of impenetrable swamps and forgotten backwaters. And one of the last remaining strongholds of the giant otter. These charismatic animals have had an almost magnetic effect on one woman. Carolina Vargas had embarked on a career as a city vet, but when she discovered this maze of waterways and the endearing nature of wild otters, it was love at first sight.
Since the first time I saw a group of giant otters, I got completely in love with these animals. And I really appreciate the way they live, the social behavior, and the care and respect they have between them in a group. And I think they are really beautiful and expressive. I like the way they show their feelings in their faces. And I think I'll never get tired of watching them.
Carolina left her home, her job, and her family, and moved to the Pantanal, eager to take on a new role as giant otter researcher. They are inquisitive animals, but that has led them into trouble. It's made them easier to hunt, and demand for their soft fur has pushed them to near extinction in many parts of South America. But they seem to be doing well here, because it's so remote. Carolina wants to understand how they live and what they need to survive. But just 2 years into her research, life took an unexpected turn. A local fisherman found a baby otter, alone and destitute. He was clearly too young to make it on his own. No one knew what to do with him, so rangers called on Carolina. Without her immediate help, he would die.
Carolina and the otter are playing.
Even though she had no experience of raising otters, Carolina decided she could not let him down. She named him Sancho, put her research on hold, and became his surrogate mother. It's been hands-on right from the start.
Sancho sucking on a baby's milk bottle.
Sancho was very small when I took him off the local rangers. He had the eyes still closed, so I think he was about 20 days old. And very small, and he usually spends most part of time sleeping.
Sancho catching 40 winks.
It was very hard because in the beginning he had to be bottle feeding each 2 hours, night and day. He just woke up to feed, and sleep again. And I get this routine, so I have to wake up to feed him, and after that I sleep again to recover my energy.
Now a bit bigger, Sancho sucks and gnaws on the teat of the baby bottle.
We keep him in the dry place in the first 2 months, and gradually we put him in the water to stimulate him to swim and get used to the water.
Sancho rolling in a bath with his webbed feet.
We didn't know how to deal with him because it's the first time this work is made in Brazil. And we get the information we have about giant otters in the wild and try to copy this routine. So we stimulate him to do things the giant otters do in the wild.
Sancho's made a good start, but now he's a lot more active, and Carolina will have to work hard to keep up. Each phase of his development throws up new problems, which she will have to solve along the way.
Steam rising up from a river drenched in golden sunlight.
If she's to give Sancho any real chance of returning to the wild, she's going to have to think back to what she's observed along the river.
Carolina silently rowing downriver, then a giant otter diving below the surface.
Her field notes on wild otters will have to serve as a makeshift parenting manual.
An otter looks out from a tangle of roots on the bank.
This is turning out to be the biggest challenge of her life.
She studies the otter through binoculars.
One of the main problems Carolina faces is bringing up Sancho on his own. In the wild, he would be part of a large, intimate family. One group she's been studying is a family of 10, with 3 young cubs about the same age as Sancho. Everything she's learnt about the dynamics of this family will now help her work out what Sancho needs.
Carolina keeps her binoculars trained on one otter in the middle of the river. It dives under the surface before reappearing closer to her boat.
This is Italo, the dominant male of this group. And he's always the first one to approach the boat and say hello.
Understanding the subtle relationships between each member of the group has required many hours of patient observations.
One head pops up. Then the water erupts with other otters in the group surfacing to swim around Carolina's boat.
Fortunately, there's a relatively easy way of telling each giant otter apart.
In order to identify them, I use the white marks they have in the neck. And when they do this kind of movement, the periscoping, it's the best time I have to catch the mark.
One cranes its neck, revealing the pale markings on its grey-brown fur.
Now Carolina knows who's who, she can start to work out their roles within the family.
It's very important to identify them, to know exactly what they are doing, like Italo. He's part of the job, it's taking care of the group and...
Italo, the dominant male, is constantly communicating with everyone else. Compared with other otters, giants are highly articulate and have an extraordinary repertoire of noisy calls. Alarm snorts, screams of excitement, and hums of reassurance all help maintain cohesion in the troop. And the cubs learn a lot from these elaborate vocalizations.
The group proceeds slowly down the river, with just their heads poking up above the surface.
Carolina has picked up some basic otter language, but she's far from understanding the complexities of giant otter society. and she's concerned this could be a major disadvantage for Sancho.
The giant otter's faces briefly dappled with sunlight.
She has no idea whether she can teach a solitary otter how to survive in the wild. But she knows that that's the best place for him and wants to return him as soon as she can. For now, though, she concentrates on getting him into a routine. Giant otters are active during the day, so at first light, Carolina wakes Sancho from his den.
Giant otters live in family groups, and the cubs spend 2 years or 3 years with the parents. And so I believe they need this contact with his parents just to learn how being a giant otter.
Sancho hasn't got that, but at least he's got Carolina.
Come, come, come.
And because he's such a sociable little thing, he's already very close to her.
He happily walks alongside her, just like a dog.
Sancho recognized me as his mother. That's why I believe he's very bonded with me. Actually, I feel like he's my son, too.
At 4 months old, Sancho is already a very demanding cub. He's now weaned off milk and has a growing appetite.
He gnaws on a fish and wags his tail.
The excitement with which he handles his first fish of the day is something Carolina has never seen before in the wild. It's time to introduce him to his real home.
He devours the fish with his sharp teeth.
The pulse of life in the Pantanal is driven by a seasonal cycle of floods and droughts. October storms herald the onset of the wet season. Heavy rain swells the Paraguay River until she bursts her banks and floods an area the size of England. For the next 6 months, savannas and forests are transformed into a land of swamps, pools and channels. The slow-flowing water is rich in nutrients, nurturing forests of aquatic plants. This is the perfect nursery for more than 300 species of fish. It's a giant aquarium bursting with life. And that's why giant otters do so well.
A giant otter gripping a flapping fish in its jaws, then quietly eating it in the shade.
But they aren't the only predators here.
A caiman is lurking nearby. The otter munches on the fish's tail.
And for an inexperienced otter, the Pantanal can be a very treacherous place.
An anaconda slithers along the riverbed.
It's up to Carolina to help steer Sancho away from danger.
She wades through the water with him.
But even she can't always see what's lurking below the surface. And he's already had one very close call.
When Sancho was younger, he was very vulnerable, and I have to watch out for him all the time. Probably he was a good prey for caiman, anacondas, maybe jaguars. And he was, in fact, attacked by a caiman.
Through the murky gloom, a caiman floating near the surface swishes its tail.
It was just after the feeding. Sancho was playing, and a caiman just came to him and bit his head. But in a few seconds, the caiman just let Sancho go. And he was very afraid. He was scared about that. And after that, Sancho started to be scared of that place where he was attacked.
Wearing her swimming costume, she plays with him in the water.
Carolina has to help him get over his fear and encourage him back into the water. Her commitment to him is so strong, she finds herself drawn more and more into the giant otter's world.
She snorkels alongside Sancho. After squeaking at the camera, he swims off to Carolina, playfully riding on her back and biting her leg.
When we are swimming, it's very funny when he approached me and start playing with my feet, and sometimes he bite me. I do believe he's really enjoyed swimming, and I can see it in his face because he shows that he's having fun.
With huge webbed feet and a strong flattened tail, Sancho is built for swimming. His instinct and ability are there, but he's still a little clumsy.
It's very important to him we swim together, because I think he's more confident to explore and search for new things in the water, because in the wild he will probably be doing that now.
Even though Carolina's research is on hold, she's learning more about giant otters than she could ever have imagined.
I never dive with a giant otter, so Sancho is teaching me a lot of things about giant otters, the way they swim and the underwater behavior. At the same time, he's learning, I'm learning with him. I feel like my work is doing well because his behavior is just like a wild giant otter.
Flapping his webbed feet, he glides through the water, then settles on her back.
I'm proud because each day I'm very pleased with his behavior and his progress.
Together, they have conquered Sancho's fear, and he's now much more at home in the water. But Carolina knows he's still got a long way to go.
Perched on a branch, a kingfisher swallows a fish whole.
Wild otter cubs gain their confidence by being at the very heart of the family.
A family of around six basking on the riverbank.
At the head is a dominant couple. Together for life, they are the parents of everyone else in the group. In the safety of such a large family, the cubs have plenty of time to play.
A cub rolls around and nuzzles its sibling's face, and an adult slips into the water.
They're also free from the pressures of finding their own food, because every member of the family helps provide for them.
The adult returns to the bank with a fish in its mouth, instantly getting the attention of the cubs. The sun catches on the adult's glistening wet fur.
Carolina has seen how a constant supply of live piranha is delivered to the cubs while they wait on the bank.
An adult deposits a still live piranha on the bank, and the cubs gather round the flapping fish. A young otter bounds down a muddy slope into the water.
Everyone has a duty to help rear these cubs and teach them how to tackle their food.
An adult puts a piranha down beside a cub, who then watches the fish flip-flop down the bank whilst following it closely.
Carolina knows that somehow she is going to have to recreate this lesson for Sancho. She isn't just a surrogate mother to him now. She has to stand in for every missing member of his family.
The cub starts eating the fish.
It's a tall order, but Carolina is prepared to rise to the challenge. Every day means getting up at 5 a.m. to catch piranha.
She lands one, rebaits her simple fishing rod, then waits for another bite.
So far, Sancho hasn't shown any interest in catching his own fish. But now's the time for him to start to pull his own weight.
While she walks with a bag of fish, Sancho is dragged along as he clings onto it with his teeth.
In the wild, he will have to use all his senses to catch fish. And Carolina has decided that a paddling pool full of muddy water is the best way for him to get used to murky river conditions.
She pours the live fish into the paddling pool at the river's edge. Sancho jumps in, grabs one of the fish in his jaws, then takes it up the bank to devour it.
Not only does this work, but some of his natural instincts are starting to kick in.
Time and time again, he chases the fish around the paddling pool before coming out onto the bank to eat them.
He uses his whiskers to sense where the fish are. And when he's almost full, he tests himself further by playing with his food.
He chases a snake under the water and kicks up clouds of silt. As he comes out onto the bank to eat his meal, Carolina sits watching him.
Refining his skills like this seems to boost his confidence. But Sancho will need more fishing lessons before he's totally self-sufficient. The trouble is, the more Carolina prepares him for independence, the more attached she becomes to him.
He swims over and nibbles her toes. He plays with her hand. Then she sits cross-legged on a tree stump in the river, teasing him with a stick. He gnaws one of her sandals, then pulls a paint pot off a table. Carolina dons a wetsuit.
At 6 months old, Sancho is now totally at ease in the water, and his natural curiosity is blossoming.
As Carolina swims at the surface wearing a snorkel, Sancho dives down to investigate the sun-dappled riverbed. He glides along, using his webbed forelimbs to propel himself through the water with ease. He swims amongst the green fronds on the bed, then briefly rejoins Carolina.
Sancho is now more confident to spend more time diving and searching for things. He dives so deep, it's very nice to see him doing that. But he always comes back to me, just to check if I'm here. And so he feels safe to go up again and keep searching for things. But I have to be close to him, because he always checking.
He's becoming much more aware of his surroundings, and perhaps most importantly, he's started to take a keen interest in fish.
He dives down into the gloomy depths.
Using his feet to steer and his tail for propulsion, he can now reach high speeds underwater and has more chance of escaping his old enemies.
A caiman floating with its head just above the surface remains motionless as Carolina swims by in the background.
But he still looks to Carolina for reassurance. She provides the protection he would expect from his family in the wild.
The caiman swims away, swishing its tail.
Giant otters do everything together. Whenever they travel, the adults surround the cubs, always on the lookout for danger.
An adult hisses, then dives.
Like Sancho, they are still vulnerable. And despite the family's care, only one in three cubs will survive.
Carolina's studying their behaviour through binoculars.
When the group finds fish, they begin to hunt. The chaos created by 10 otters confuses the fish and makes them easier to catch.
Inquisitive faces in a huddle at the water's edge.
But it's each otter for itself, strictly hunting and eating alone. The cubs pester the grown-ups and constantly call for food.
A cub tries to snaffle a fish from an adult's mouth, but the adult keeps a hold of its meal. An adult gnawing the head of a fish.
The adults eat first before tending to the youngsters. Then they offer smaller fish and encourage the cubs to play with and chase them. All good practice for tackling their own slippery prey.
A fish slips out of the mouths of two cubs with a splash. One retrieves it, then dives under.
On each fishing trip, the cubs must learn an enormous amount from the adults. But this is where Carolina's abilities as an otter mother reach their natural limit. She can only guess how young otters learn to hunt from what she's witnessed at the surface. Somehow, she's got to encourage Sancho to catch his own food. And this is proving to be the trickiest part of his rehabilitation so far. Carolina has had to think long and hard about a training program for Sancho. But in the end, it's down to trial and error.
She takes a live fish out of a bucket. Then, once Sancho is in the river, she tosses the fish into the water. Sancho darts beneath the surface chasing the fish, but soon loses it in a shoal. As he returns to the bank, Carolina gets ready to throw him another. She tosses the fish to the far side of the water and he chases after it. But when he loses it again, he dives down and investigates the long green fronds growing on the bed. She throws him another fish, which wriggles away from him.
This is going to take a lot of practice.
He ploughs through a shoal and the fish scatter. After swimming through the vegetation for a moment, he refocuses and goes after one fish in particular. He catches it, only to lose it again. He propels himself through the water with his powerful tail, then finally catches the fish and swims off with it.
Once he starts to fish by himself, I'll start to break the bond he has with me, and that will be hard as well. At the same time, I really want him to go and become a wild giant otter. But when this moment comes, I'll be proud of that, but I'm for sure I will miss him.
Bringing up Sancho hasn't been easy, but Carolina is beginning to realize that the hardest part is yet to come. She is going to have to let him go, and the moment of separation is edging ever closer.
Under a blue sky, skimming over clear water towards trees in the distance.
The rains have stopped and the Pantanal is drying out. As the water levels fall, fish become trapped.
A black bird with a red and yellow bill pecks around in the shallows.
Life gets easy for abundant water birds.
Wood storks with brown heads, white bodies and spindly legs paddle through the water. One with a fish in its long beak gradually snaffles its prey.
But birds aren't the only ones to take advantage of the glut of easy food.
Two giant otters, each gnawing on a fish.
It's a perfect time for Sancho to head off on his own. but Carolina still has to think carefully about where she can release him. Wild giant otters are aggressively territorial. Their home ranges can be over 12 miles, and they patrol them constantly.
The giant otters have different ways to mark their territory. They can use the smell, scent glands, visual marking. They scratch the riverbank. And sometimes they use their voice to mark the place.
These are clear signs to all other otters that this land is taken.
They have special care with the scent marking because it's very important to keep their territory and avoid fights with other giant otters.
Carolina hopes that there is room here for one more otter. But she has no idea whether a close-knit family like this would accept him or kill him.
She paddles her boat down the river.
If Sancho enters in the other group territory, the group could not accept Sancho and would have a fight. So that's so important for me to know the groups and their territory in this area.
This is going to be a tense time for Carolina. She can point Sancho in the right direction, but ultimately it will be up to him to find and defend his own territory.
As a golden sun sets behind the trees, tiny insects dancing above the river catch the light.
Sancho is now 8 months old, and Carolina thinks she has found a stretch of no man's land fit for his fresh start in the wild.
A white egret takes off. Now Carolina is riding a bicycle along a windy track, passing a field of horses.
She continues to help him fish, but she knows this is the beginning of the end of motherhood.
She lets Sancho out of his hutch and he scampers off.
I decided to move Sancho in order to break the human contact and show him another territory for him to start to explore. In the first few days, he was not confident to travel further. But now I can see that he's showing more interest in explore new places. And he spends more time by his own, which is good.
She sits on a platform and watches Sancho excitedly bound out of the river with a newly caught fish in his mouth. He settles down to eat it.
Despite the great strides he has made, Sancho is still young, and Carolina knows she will always worry about him. But the mothering will have to stop if Sancho is ever going to be self-reliant.
Sitting under a tree, Carolina scrapes up some earth, then pours it on Sancho, who's lying beside her. He touches her hand, then she strokes and plays with him, her face full of affection.
She decides to leave him for most of the day, in the hope that he will start searching for his own food.
She cycles off down the track.
This really is tough love. For the first time, Sancho is on his own.
He rolls around at the entrance of his hutch.
I'm not sure that Sancho is 100% able to defend himself. When he's by himself, he shows that he's not comfortable. And he spends some time calling his mother. So I don't believe he feels safe all the time.
He cries for Carolina constantly. Something no wild otter would do, as it could attract unwanted attention. Unwittingly, he has called in a pair of wild otters.
A head pops up on the opposite side of the water before disappearing under the surface again.
Sancho has never seen another giant otter before and has no idea how to react.
In the first day, Sancho was a little bit afraid of the couple, and he stayed most part of the time close to me, just watching.
The two wild otters surface and dive. Having been curled up on the bank opposite, Sancho finally gets up and pads towards the water. His head periscopes up from the dense foliage.
It's a new experience for Sancho. At the same time, he's starting to lose human contact. I think it will be very stimulating for him. Maybe it will help him to finally find his way.
Carolina films the giant otters with a camcorder.
Over the next few weeks, Carolina watches as the couple visit Sancho regularly.
As the couple swim around the shallows, Sancho watches them from the safety of the bank. Another time, Sancho sits on a jetty quite close to one of the giant otters. But when the otter goes to venture out of the river, Sancho runs off and the otter splashes back into the water. Now the couple are investigating the end of the jetty.
His initial nervousness begins to dwindle as he realizes he speaks their language.
One of the otters glides straight towards him, nudges his bottom, then they both run away from each other.
Luckily for Sancho, this couple seems friendly. In fact, their meetings help to build his confidence.
He lies down on the jetty.
All of a sudden, Sancho seems ready to take the final plunge into the giant otter's world.
Sancho lies in the water and plays with a stick between his teeth. A white-necked heron watches from a branch as Sancho grips onto the stick, then rolls over in the water. White egrets flying above the river, a black and white cormorant stretching its wings as it perches on a branch, then a kingfisher taking flight.
Carolina starts to reduce his fish rations, until one day she discovers he doesn't need her anymore.
He runs under the jetty with a fish.
We just found him eating a big fish, so we realized that he just caught his first fish. Actually, I think he was already catching his own fish, but hiding from us. And it was great, and after this day, he started to fish almost every single day.
Sancho has finally proved he can look after himself.
He lies down on the riverbank with a small fish in his mouth.
Torn between pride and sorrow, Carolina seeks solace in her role as a researcher.
There's a lack of information about this period of giant otters' lives, when they leave the family and start to travel to find a mate and a territory. So I think Sancho will be very important in he'll give us a lot of information about this period.
Although the separation will be hard for her, Carolina's confident she will continue to learn from him.
Against a dusky pink sky, birds fly above the trees in silhouette. Sancho lies sleeping.
But then, the moment every mother dreads.
Carolina approaches the section of riverbank where Sancho's hutch is and goes up to the jetty.
Come, 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 come.
There's no sign of him.
Come, come, come. Come, come, come.
She looks out across the dense foliage.
I arrived here this morning and Sancho was not here.
Crouching down, she takes a look in his hutch, then is momentarily distracted by a call coming from the river.
He hasn't traveled far from here, and that's why I'm concerned, because what happened to him to just decide to go away if he doesn't know this place?
It could be that Sancho has grown up quicker than Carolina realizes.
Come, 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 come.
In the wild, giant otter cubs do become independent at 9 months old, but they're still at risk.
I think he is still a potential prey for caiman, big caiman. And if he was sleeping on the ground, he was a potential prey for a jaguar. I have to look for him. So I'll pick the canoe and try to find the places I have already been with him. And unfortunately, I have to look for
She hangs her head, fighting back tears.
I have to say that I have to look for his body in case he was killed for any animal. I have to do this. But I'm still thinking positive about he's just a rebel. Maybe he's trying to show he's angry about us leaving him alone for a long time, or give him less food. I don't know. But I'm still thinking he'll come back soon. Come,
Carolina paddling downriver, then standing up to look for him.
Sancho. Come.
A new day, and Carolina sits drawing on her balcony with her camcorder beside her.
3 months have now passed since Carolina last saw Sancho. He's left a huge hole in her life.
She's sketching him at different stages.
She has found some comfort in resuming her research project, even though she spends a lot of time looking for him.
She motors down the river with her eyes fixed on the horizon.
But Sancho has left her with more than just memories.
A giant otter comes out of a holt and slides into the river.
Wild otters are normally very shy and difficult to get close to. But this is the pair that Sancho befriended all those months ago.
They roll around in the water and playfully bite each other.
So used to seeing her with Sancho, they have accepted her. She is rewarded with an exceptional front row seat.
She films them bounding in and out of the river just a few meters in front of her. While she watches them through the flip-out screen, One of them dares to venture towards her. It turns and dives back in.
She's trusted enough to have a rare glimpse of their newborn cubs.
One cub tumbles out of the mouth of the holt, followed by another. An adult picks one up by the scruff of its neck and carries it off.
I'm monitoring this couple since they start visit Sancho a few months ago, and I follow all the process since they copulate and show the first sign of pregnancy. So seeing them now with the cubs is very special. I feel like part of their family, and I'm very happy to know that they are living fine here.
Deep down, Carolina hoped that Sancho might have joined forces with this young couple. Evidently, that was not to be. But Sancho gave Carolina a real insight, a deeper understanding of what it actually takes to be an otter.
Seeing cubs remind me of Sancho all the time. And I'm glad to see in these cubs the same behavior I saw in Sancho. And the whole process with Sancho has helped me now to understand what's going on with him.
Carolina's relationship with Sancho also changed her life.
Sancho playing with her under the water.
Raising Sancho was a special experience in my life. Being in touch with such beautiful and lovely animal was amazing and at the same time challenging. And I tried to teach Sancho lots of things, but I'm sure I learned much more from him. And now all these things I learned are helping me to understand the cub's behavior in nature.
Carolina did everything she could for Sancho, but she still doesn't know if it was enough. Perhaps the hardest part for Carolina is the not knowing. But now, as she travels the waterways of the Pantanal, her research has an extra dimension, a glimmer of hope that he could be out there, somewhere.
I have now one special reason to keep my monitoring work. I have to look for Sancho, and I'm sure one day I will find him with his family.
Next week, Natural World goes on a spiritual journey, spending a year exploring the wildlife of the moors, woodlands and rivers of Dartmoor with Satish Kumar, ecologist, former Jain monk and pilgrim for peace.